Drive Time Show on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Miguel swings it to fly ball, right field, way back and right. Garcia to the fence, looking up, and it's gone, a home run.
Wow.
Miguel Cabrera with a two-run shot to right is 24th, his fifth home run in the last week. The Tigers lead it.
This 106.5 The Ticket Sports Exclusive is driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik Jr. at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Matthews got it, throws. He's got Golden Tate who makes the catch inside the 15, inside the 10, and he's biking away. He's into the end zone. Pack the bags. Start the plane. This game is over. Oh, baby, how big is that?
Get ready. It's now Drive Time.
Sweeping left side, 10-5. Touchdown, Curtis Samuel. And the Buckeyes win it in overtime. A game that they trailed by 10 points to give Ohio State a 30-27 victory over the University of Michigan.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocked the shot. Sent Gretzky in. 3-0. Los Angeles. Wayne Gretzky gets the goal.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way. Here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco. 15 feet, 4 inches. Set out a cup. President's Cup to the United States.
All right, everybody from the Superstore. Glad to have you on board. Unbelievable events taking place up at Comerica Park in Detroit. I'll get to that in a moment. I can tell you this. Three bench-clearing brawls of the game this afternoon. Tigers lead it bottom of the eighth. James McCann has just homered. This is about two innings after he was hit in the head with the pitch. That tells you a little bit about what's going on at Comerica Park today. We're going to talk high school football at 5:15. Steve Junga, one of four writers ever to be enshrined and honored in the Toledo City League Hall of Fame. Steve will join us again. Almost been writing, I think, 30 years. We'll ask him for sure. High school sports in the Toledo area. He is a virtual historian on almost everything that's ever happened at the high school level in Toledo. And I'll tell you this, one of the good guys in the business as well. Sean Belizean, who started his career here in Toledo. In fact, I want to say it was about 30 years ago. Sean and I did a show on another station that will not be mentioned at this juncture. But Sean's gone on to do many, many good things. And right now is a member of the Detroit Lions radio network. Lions, of course, taking on New England tomorrow night at Ford Field. You know, there's preseason games and there's preseason games. I said this yesterday, but I got to tell you, anytime New England comes to town, Tom Brady comes to town, the former University of Michigan quarterback and surefire first-time, first-ballot Hall of Famer. And you know what? In game three of the preseason, I looked at the history today. Bill Belichick does have a real pattern of playing Tom Brady a lot. So look for a lot of snaps tomorrow. That will be a real test for the Detroit Lions defense that has been outstanding in their two wins to this point in time over Indianapolis and the Jets. I think they've allowed 13 points combined. They will see Brady tomorrow night. Again, that will be a test. We will have that game right here on the ticket. Back to this Detroit Tiger game. Now, it was a 1:30 starter. You can guess it's 5:10 now, so you know some things have been going on. Yankees basically noted for playing long games anyways, usually against the Boston Red Sox. But today, against the Detroit Tigers and the New York Yankees at Comerica, this basically started. The great young catcher, Gary Sanchez of the New York Yankees, who, by the way, has 9 RBIs in this series. He was hit by Michael Fulmer. Basically, Fulmer was warned. Next inning, here come the Yankees. Kainley comes out and throws a pitch behind Miguel Cabrera. Cabrera basically goes back to the dugout. Kainley is ejected from the game. The Yankees are warming up. Chapman, he comes out to the mound, and before he can throw a pitch, Miguel Cabrera and Austin Romine, of course, brother of Andrew Romine of the Detroit Tigers. Her dad, of course, played in the major leagues as well with the Boston Red Sox. Those two go at it at home plate. Both benches basically empty. So here we go again. James McCann is hit in the head in the seventh inning. Right after that, John Hicks is hit by a pitch back-to-back in the same inning. Benches empty again. And then we get into this eighth inning situation where one more time, Alex Wilson plunks another Yankee. Benches empty again. Girardi's gone. I think it their backup manager today for the New York Rangers, his name was Robbie Thompson. He has been ejected from the game. Ejections on both sides. Tigers have a 10-6 lead. That is in the bottom of the eighth inning. And I got to tell you, it was funny that Dave Spillman walked through this showroom not too long ago here at the Superstore talking about the night that Bert Campanaris threw a bat at Laren Legros. Billy Martin was the manager of the Tigers. Benches emptied in a brawl-filled night. And I watch a lot of baseball. I do not remember three bench-clearing brawls in one baseball game. It happened today in Detroit. A lot of ejections. Tigers, again, have a 10-6 lead. They're still playing, not even in the ninth inning as of yet. On second base is Jacoby Jones right now for the Detroit Tigers, carrying on a conversation with one of the Yankees, talking about all these events that have taken place today. Jacoby Jones leaving the field right now. There was just an appeal play. At the end of eight, the Tigers lead it by a score of 10-6 in a bizarre, bizarre afternoon at Comerica Park in Detroit. Just a couple other notes here. First, we'd like to welcome Ferdo's Restaurant to the show. I will be there next Thursday night. That is on the campus of the University of Toledo. Great Mediterranean food. They've been in business a long time. Struck a deal with them. I'll be there when the Rockets open up against Elon on Thursday. Also like to welcome back Bar 145. We'll be doing shows from there all football season. I will be out there on Wednesday night. So next week, football season underway, preview shows underway, both from Bar 145 and from Ferdo's Restaurant. Also read today, William Hill, the bookmakers, legal bookmakers. I always get a kick out of this. Every time I go to Ireland to play golf, you can't walk out of a coffee shop or a pub without a place to wager next door. But their CEO today basically talking about the hit that they are going to take if Conor McGregor would win this fight against Floyd Mayweather. So, again, those are some of the things going on. You know, I talked about it a lot this week about Colin Kaepernick basically just being, you know, being a distraction. And finally, LeSean McCoy came out today. The Bills said, listen, regardless of all the political implications here, this is exactly what LeSean McCoy, we're trying to win football games here. We're trying to build a team. The press would follow us around with this guy on a daily basis. We got to get to work because I think he'd be a distraction. They would never say it, but every general manager in the league would say this as well. You don't need your second or third string quarterback every day with 40 people in front of your locker and those people going down asking everybody in the team what they think. This is the problem with this. People could say what they want, but I can tell you behind closed doors, I've been saying it for a week. Now NFL players are coming out and saying the same thing, the distraction factor. Back, everybody, Steve Junk after this timeout. The show driven by the low-payment king, Ralph Mahalik, with a summer sales clearance event continues.
Talking local sports, it's Drive Time on Toledo's sports leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Drive Time, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. As you just heard, home of the Lions, Ohio State, University of Michigan, high school football games as well. Sean Belizean will join us at 5:35 tonight. Sean, part of the Detroit Lions radio network, as always, this show driven by the low-payment king, Ralph Mahalik. Joining us now, Steve Junga, Toledo Blades, covered more high school sports, I think, than anybody in the Midwest. I've been reading him a long time, and people know how long I've been around. So, Steve, how are you?
I'm good, Mike. Yourself?
Very good. Thank you for coming on. I appreciate it. I know it's a busy time of the year. I also know you'll be in the neighborhood tomorrow night, my neighborhood, over in Temperance's St. John's will be taking on Bedford. Tell me about that matchup first.
Yeah, pretty intriguing. Both teams have lost a lot of talent that graduated off of teams last year. Bedford was a team that finished 9-3. They made it to the third round of the Division II playoffs up in Michigan, lost their quarterback, lost a number of really good players. They're reloading a little bit here, so you never can tell how they're going to work out. St. John, same thing. They had somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 seniors that played on last year's team, although not all of them were contributors. There were quite a few that were. So it's a big question mark, and that's what makes it fun. You got to see how it plays out. One guy St. John does, or actually a few guys they have that are known quantities, Dallas Scant, the linebacker who's going to Ohio State, Austin Beyer, a lineman who is committed to Minnesota, and Brian Dooley, another lineman. Brian is committed to Eastern Michigan. So they do have some marquee players on the St. John side. However, they did lose a lot from last year, so they are also a big question.
Again, Steve Junga joins us here, who, by the way, was honored by the Toledo City Hall of Fame, one of four writers to receive that honor over the years. Hey, before we get talking about the other games and the other conferences, Steve, I'm looking at you. It's funny because the first thing I wrote down today, and you just mentioned Dallas Gant, who was on his way to play for the Ohio State Buckeyes. The first thing I thought of looking at the cover was this. I wonder who else has graced the covers of the Toledo Blade High School Football Special. And lo and behold, I get near the back of the publication, and there they are from 2008 to 2016. And, of course, the one that stood out back in 2013, a young quarterback by the name of Deshaun Kizer is on the cover. Might be in the cover now of the Cleveland Browns game program. But just your thoughts, and listen, you've covered a number of guys that have gone on to play in the National Football League. There's been a number of them coming out of the Toledo and the Monroe area as well. But tell me a little bit about Deshaun Kizer, your impressions, and what's going on with him now.
Well, my first inkling about his athletic ability. He was a starter as a freshman on a varsity basketball team at Central. I think it was the 2011 season that made it to the state Final Four in Division I. Didn't necessarily mean he was the best player on the team, but he was a starter as a freshman on a team that went to state. So handled himself pretty well. Always seemed more mature than his years. And, you know, he just continued to get better throughout the years. I do have to tell you, I did not see this coming. I thought Deshaun would be, and I'm just telling the truth here, when he was a junior in high school, I thought, you know, he's going to go somewhere, Division I, he'll work his way up, he'll make it as a starter at some point, wherever he goes. But never did I expect the almost instantaneous success he had at Notre Dame that redshirt freshman season last year, although they had a rough season as a team at Notre Dame. Deshaun continued to impress the pro scouts, and what he's doing now, I suppose at this point, shouldn't surprise me anymore. The kid just seems to, not a kid anymore, young man seems to just keep taking up his game to match the level of play.
No, absolutely. Good observation and very evident, and I think they're making the right call. There's a time for some debate on another show how fast you should throw a young man behind the wheel to drive the car, but I think the Browns have made the right decision. Hey, let me talk just briefly here about Dallas Gant on the cover playing for St. John. We had Tony Gant on here before and his son that played at Michigan as well. No relation?
I'm told no by Dallas. Friends, yes, that would have been Alan Gant from Southview a few years back. I did ask Dallas about that, unless he was fibbing me or something. He said he was not related, so I would have to say at this point no.
Yeah, I was looking at your player profiles, and the other one that stood out to me, and please, everybody from Eastern Michigan, do not take this the wrong way, but I was reading about Cole Reagan and a 4.2 grade point average. His choice was between Air Force and Eastern Michigan. I like his decision to go to Air Force, and he's going to study to be a physician. Sounds like a great kid.
Yeah, he struck me, you know, just a brief meeting, but struck me as a kid that has his whole future lined up. You know, he was talking about going to the Air Force and then his commitment after that, and then the fact that if you do go into medical school in the military, you know, they pick up the tab for you. So a lot of these other folks that use the conventional route with medical school and have those loans to pay off for years and years afterwards, it's a smart route to take. You know, you do have to spend the time serving your country after your college football days, but, you know, that's a small price to pay after those years go by.
No, and what a life's experience, no doubt about it. City League, briefly, we got, about maybe a minute to spend on each conference or each league, I'll put it that way. You got Start ranked number one in the City League and Woodward number two. I guess I'll ask you this way. Any dark horses among the bunch?
Well, you know, the interesting thing in the league, not so much the teams. You've got four brand new coaches this year. Those programs have been in flux for a number of years, you know, with coaching turnover, particularly at Rogers for one. Start comes in with Corey Pargo, who played at Rogers back in the day and played at Ohio State. I'm guessing he brings a whole lot of energy to the mix. And they do seem to have the best crop of athletes returning. So, I don't think we're going out on a limb to say that Start's the favorite. The coaches saw it that way. I like what Rob Garber's done over at Woodward. Just a handful of years ago, they had trouble winning a game and fielding the team. They've made great strides, had that stadium over there, a really nice facility with field turf, and they've got it going on there, built up some momentum, and that's what it takes. Wade High School, Kirk Heidelberg, who's a former coach at University of Toledo on the staff, I think at Nick Saban, and back in the day, Gary Pinkel, briefly, and a long career overseas coaching football. It'll be interesting to see how he adapts to the high school game at this point in his life. He did have a stint coaching a high school team in, I believe it was Indiana in his past. So there's a lot of questions in the City League in terms of, how the kids adjust to the coaches. But in terms of who's the favorite, I like those picks of Start and Woodward as one and two.
Let's look at the track again. Steve Junga joins us on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust. A Central ranked number one, my alma mater, Toledo Whitmer number two. I won't tell you the year that I graduated. What else comes out of the track?
Well, again, we start with those two, and I would be really stunned that anybody else in the league is in this hunt other than those two teams this season. I'm just not seeing enough personnel, I know it's only on paper and things can happen sometimes miraculously, but I just don't see that. That said, St. John's is picked third. I'm not sure they're in that spot with a team like Lima Senior that has shown great strides in the last 3 years, getting into some playoff situations. And I think Fremont Ross brings a lot of players back. It's just a matter of whether or not they can take things up a notch. Beyond that, St. Francis with the new coach, Dan Chipka, came over from Wade, a guy I know, talked to, seen him in action, brings a lot of energy. We'll see how that plays out with trying to generate something at St. Francis, a team that went 0-10 last year for the first time in their history, and they've been 3-27 the last 3 years. It's nice to pump some energy in, but you got to have the Jimmies and the Joes to make it work, and I expect strides. I just don't know how much they can climb in 1 year.
Steve Junga joins us here again on Drive Time, driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. High school football cranking up this weekend. The weather certainly has changed in the right direction for high school football. Cool temperatures expected all weekend long. Northern Lakes League's Springfield number one. You got Anthony Wayne number two. Tell me about that conference in a nutshell, Stevie, if you could.
Well, Springfield, obviously, you know, they made it 10-0 last year, won the league, but they lost Grant Kobach, their brilliant running back, in week four. I think it was the first quarter of the fourth game last year. Might have been the fifth game. But anyway, he was gone the majority of the way. They still finished off the 10-0 year. They've got lost some other players to graduation, but have A.J. Cuchardo back, quarterback. He's going to do nothing but get better as you go. I think they're the clear favorite. Anthony Wayne obviously opened some eyes last year at the playoffs. You know, they got in with a 7-3 record, and lo and behold, they won three games and got all the way to the state semifinals before they ran into a great state championship Cincinnati LaSalle team in the semifinals and lost. But Andy Brungard there in his first year, coming over from his job as an assistant at Perrysburg before that, did a magnificent job, greatest run in their school history there. So I like those two teams at the top, like I suppose everybody else does. Perrysburg tied in the coaches' vote. I see a little bit of separation between Anthony Wayne and Perrysburg, and for that part, the rest of the league.
Steve, how about the Northern Buckeye Conference? You got Eastwood on top, Genoa, Otsego, Lake High School. Tell me a little bit about the conference going forward here into the fall.
The biggest news in the league this year is the fact that the dean of area coaches, at least last couple years, Jerry Rutherford, after 35 years, finally retired. The guy had been, I think he got his first game as a head coach at age 23 over there. His son takes over, Craig Rutherford, who played for Jerry, coached under him. I don't expect a lot of change, and they have, I think it's something like 17 starting positions back this year out of the 22. I expect them to make it a pretty clear shot to the title in the NBC. And also, tomorrow night, they welcome in an Ottawa Glandorf team that really top-notch program over there, and that might be the best game in Northwest Ohio on open.
Again, talking to Steve Junga, Toledo Blade, high school writer. Steve, what is this in years for you covering high school sports?
Well, this will be my 31st fall with high school football. I still remember the first game I covered for the Blade back in 87. It was an Eastwood Otsego game on a beautiful night. Great game. First time I'd been to Tontogany, and the first of many. But it flies, in some way it flies by, in some ways there's so much that's gone under the bridge, you forget about a lot of things. You know, you remember the early things and you remember the most recent, sometimes you forget a lot in between, but it's been my pleasure to do this job all those years. I've met some really great people that coach young kids, some great athletes, people that just do some positive things in the community. And it's been a very rewarding ride for me personally.
Yeah, you know, Steve, every time I run into you and you talk about it, and the words you just spoke, I know were genuine, and you love it, and you love that level. And I got to tell you, too, with, you know, myself and 40 years of doing hockey, you're right. I remember some of the early games and the early experiences as much as I do some of the games that I do now in the OHL 3 or 4 years ago, and you're exactly right. Guys like you and even me at times stay in this because of the people you meet. You go to the rink or the field, you run into somebody you know, and it's just, they turn into lifelong relationships. And, again, just it's always a pleasure to have you on. And number two, I love the high school football preview section, and I'm telling everybody to get a hold of it. It's going to be my guide this year. Of course, it's got the schedules, the breakdowns, and everything else. Steve, did I miss anything?
Well, I probably didn't go far enough with the rest of the teams in the NBC when you asked. I think Genoa and Otsego are certainly in the mix. But outside of that, I think we covered pretty much everything. I also invite people to take a look at our preview section. If for no other reason, to, you know, brush up on what some of the teams have coming back this year if you're going to be heading out to the game.
No, good stuff, Steve. Thanks for coming on. I'm looking at that great photograph now in the Northwest Ohio Athletic League, taking a look at the Liberty Center team with, I love those black and orange jerseys in front of the press box there at Tiger Stadium. Good stuff. Great time of the year. I will be reading, sir, and hope to run into you soon.
Okay, Mike. You take care.
Steve Junga, Toledo Blade. What a plethora of high school sports information this guy is. Talk about honesty. He talked about DeShone Kizer, who's going to be the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. He said, I didn't see it. He goes, I did not see it. He goes, I thought maybe, you know, he'd be a pretty good player. He said, actually, was a better basketball player starting on the freshman basketball team. But he said, I did not see this coming, but what he's been able to do is rise to the occasion at each level that he's played. Obviously, talking about Notre Dame and now talking about the Cleveland Browns. TASS Electronics update right around the corner. TASS Electronics. Remember, everybody, the toys of summer rock, whether it's your boat, your bike, your ATV, stream your favorite digital audio from your smartphone with the Kenwood Bluetooth from TASS Electronics. Let's over to see Al Papier today. He says hello. Back with Sean Belizean talking Lions after this.
The Jams. It's the Drive Time Show on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's your host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. My name is Mike Miller. Glad to have you on board. Special thanks to Steve Junga, who was recently honored by the Toledo City League Sports Hall of Fame. Been writing high school sports for 30 years. Run into Steve every now and then. He loves it. He loves the small town feel of fall football and the relationships he's made over the years, of course, with coaches and athletic directors, and loves going into small rural towns and spending his Friday night writing about football in this area. Great to have Steve on, and an honor that was truly deserved indeed. Lions, by the way, will take on the New England Patriots. That's coming up Friday, part of the Cumulus Cluster. We're going to move that one over to 100.7 Talk Radio. Our pregame show on the Detroit Lions Radio Network will get underway tomorrow at 5 o'clock. And a member of the Detroit Lions Radio Network, Sean Belizean, joins us. Hello, Sean. How are you?
Mike, always a pleasure to talk to you, buddy. How are you doing?
Very good. Thanks for coming on and taking the time. Before we go football, did you have a chance to check any of the Tigers games out in this three-bench-clearing brawl situation in your busy day?
Well, you know, it's interesting. The past week, they were unwatchable so many times that you couldn't say that about today. Both in regards to the way the bats were exploding and some of the shenanigans during the course of the game, you know, it was quite interesting to watch that, because, you know, I think one of the biggest things, Mike, to me is just the lack of fire the past few weeks. I mean, there have been so many games where there was nothing there. I mean, the roster obviously is less than, and it almost seemed like, I hate the term mailing it in, because I really don't think that that's the case. I just don't think they're that good. But, I mean, they've been pounded so much lately. Today, they certainly provided fireworks, though.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I can't wait till September the 1st, which is next week, and we'll see some of the kids, Jamer Candelario, and take a look at the 40-man roster and look at some of the young guys have added some life to this team. Matuk, one, a guy that can run the bases, and set of guys just basically plodding around the bases station to station. So I'm looking forward to the first. Hen's got a few guys down there. We'll see what happens as well. Lions in New England tomorrow night, Sean Belizean. Real dress rehearsal there. I guess it is a preseason game, but, hey, it's New England.
No, that's a good way to put it, Mike, because, you know, it was funny you mentioned dress rehearsal. I was talking to a couple of the guys the other day out at camp, and we were trying to figure out when this became a thing. Because growing up, Mike, I don't recall people talking about the third game and, you know, the importance of the third game and the dress rehearsal. And we kind of pinpointed it with, at least around here, being during the Steve Mariucci era. And, of course, Steve Mariucci, former coach of not only the 49ers, but certainly a forgetful era of Detroit Lion football as well. And it's interesting because, yes, in one regard, hey, who better to measure up where you're at? Who better to measure up with your first unit offense, your first unit defense? But in the second regard, I do think there's a little bit of coach speak involved, because who's going to really show anything? If there's a new wrinkle, if there's a new quirk, if there's something that you guys have been working on, and yes, they've been working on a few things, because, you know, sometimes you go, oh, I've never seen that before. The third game of the exhibition season is not the time to bring it out. You know what I mean? That's something you're going to save that for the first week of the year or when an opportunity presents itself. But, you know, again, with that being said, this is a good measuring stick. And out of all the four games, there's no doubt about it, I think you can put perhaps the most into this one than any of the other three.
No, you had Indianapolis. You had the Jets. Buffalo next week, by the way. New England tomorrow. Regardless if you see anything, new wrinkles, as you put it, or anything that, you know, will be in the regular season playbook in week number four. What a good test for the Lions defense, I'm going to guess. Over the years, I looked it up today, Bill Belichick is a guy that gives Tom Brady numerous snaps in these third game, again, quote-unquote, dress rehearsal games in the preseason. Lions defense has only given up 13 points in the first two. I'm going to guess they're going to have to be a little bit more aware with this team coming in on Friday. But so far, so good, a Lions defense without Ziggy Ansah. Still got me, Sean?
Yeah, I got you. I got you. Yeah, you went out for just a second. I'm glad we're back.
No, I just basically said the Lions defense have given up 13 points in two games. This will be a better test, regardless if there's any wrinkles or not.
No question. You know, and that's the one thing. So far, so good. You know, when you're taking out some key components from the defensive line, look, Terry Hyder being out is going to hurt the team. I mean, I think for anybody to suggest otherwise, I think that's just not a fair assessment. It appears being the key and operative word that they are indeed, much like we talked about, erring on the side of caution, not only with TJ Lang, but Ziggy Ansah. I mean, all you're hearing right now is he's going to be good to go by the time the first week runs around. But you know how these camps are, and Mike, from your time in the National Hockey League, sometimes these buzzwords start being flown around. Sometimes these buzz terms get flown around. And the one that has been making the rounds the last couple of weeks out in Lion Land is manufacturing a pass rush. And what they mean by that is it would be in the Lions' best interest if that front four, whatever parts are part of it, could bring the pass rush that you desperately need. If that isn't the case, well, then you have to get creative and you have to manufacture a pass rush. You know, you bring a linebacker in, you bring a safety in, you bring somebody from the corner or something like that. So that's where we're at right now. It would be in the best interest of everybody if this front four, whatever form it takes, because guys are going to be moving in and out. This isn't the days when we were younger where you had the fearsome foursome with the steel curtain, guys that played on first, second, third down. There's going to be a rotation process. But as this rotation process starts to develop, it would be in the best interest of everybody if we didn't have to, quote, manufacture a pass rush.
Very well put, and I understand the theory, and I also understand the other side of it as well. Sean Belizean joins us here at the Vito's Pizza phone line. Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust. Hey, a guy by the name of Jim Bob Cooter, every time I say that, I think of Junior Samples and Roy Clark and Minnie Pearl and Lulu and little Jimmy Dickens, but I got to tell you, here's a guy that's responsible for the ground game this year. Tell us about that, and hopefully, that dreadful ground game of the Lions on the other side of the ball here can get something going.
Yeah, you know, I always think when I hear Cooter, I think of Roscoe P. Coltrane and the Duke of Hazzard, you know, that whole crazy Cooter thing. But, Mike, I listen, this guy, I don't care what anybody says, you look at what the Lions were under Lombardi and where you look at where they're at now. I mean, it is two different places. Is there another level? Well, sure there is. I think everybody involved would say that. But I look no further than Matthew Stafford. Again, 43 touchdowns, 12 interceptions in his 24 games under Jim Bob Cooter. I mean, that is a really good touchdown-interception ratio. But getting to the point, absolutely. I'm not saying that, you know, this running back core has to be the reincarnation of Barry Sanders or anything like that. You just have to be better. You have to make that safety worry that, you know what, I better keep an eye on this guy. I better keep an eye on that guy. I had a chance to talk to Amir Abdullah last week. He is laser focused. You know, this is a guy that understands that, you know, there's so much talk about what he can do, but right now, unfortunately, it is talk. He's only shown it in brief glimpses. You know, his first carry in his career, he burst through that hole. It was unbelievable. That run he had an opening day against San Diego a couple of years ago, and he was off to a really good start last year. And then, unfortunately, the injury hit. So this is a guy that is laser focused. And Mike, I'm telling you right now, I have no problem writing a check for this guy. I expect good things from Amir Abdullah. Again, I'm not saying the guy are going to be the reincarnation of Barry Sanders. The league is different now. There's a running back by committee thing. But Amir Abdullah brings an element that I think this offense has lacked for quite some time. He really is a home run hitter. And I think working in concert with Theo Riddick, who's one of the best coming out of the backfield and picking up receptions and doing things, and a couple of the other pieces they have in Zenner and Washington, I expect some big things. Not to be a great running team, but certainly to make defenses, especially safeties, think about what the Lions might be able to do via the run.
Again, talking to Sean Belizean. We'll have the Lions tomorrow night. We're part of the Detroit Lions Football Network. Our pregame show getting underway at 5 o'clock. Just a couple of quick ones, Sean. Gracious with your time. Appreciated. The show, everybody, of course, driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik, where the summer clearance sales event continues. As always, we're coming to you from the mothership, the showroom here. Tell me a little bit about, I love Jim Caldwell's quote about he is alive. And he was talking about punter Sam Martin. So have you seen him around Allen Park, and what's going on with a guy that had a great year last year, averaging over 44 yards a punt?
He's phenomenal. I mean, he really – and you know what? He's a character, too. Sam's a character. And, you know, a lot of people question when the Lions took him in a draft. I mean, you don't draft kickers. You don't draft punters. I don't think anybody's complaining about that right now because, I mean, this guy has really proven to be a weapon and flip the field. Unfortunately, I'm glad that Coach Caldwell can have some fun with it, and I hope that he's got a good sense of humor because we can have fun with him, I guess that means, for giving us nothing in regards to the injury report. I mean, we never get anything. The running joke is, check the report. You know, so I almost went Coach Caldwell on you there, Mike, and said, check the report. But, you know, right now, and I was talking to one of the beat writers about this just on Monday, all you can do is venture a guess who's going to be there punting in week one. That's all you can do. I think the fact that Sam Martin is back, I think the fact that Sam is, you know, back in the fold, that makes you think, okay, maybe he's going to be back. But unfortunately, you know, in this day and age with the Detroit Lions, they just aren't going to give you much. It's almost like Scotty Bowman in his prime. You know, you played the bingo. Is it an upper body injury? Well, what could it be on the upper body? Lions don't give you much other than check the report, those three dreaded words.
Yeah, it is. I mean, this is what it's been. And listen, I worked in New Jersey. You want to talk about the CIA? That's what that was. No question about it. Boy, we got quite a roster now with our Detroit Lion coverage. We've got Mike O'Hare has been with us for probably 5 years now. And, Dan Meller was on this week, by the way. And Dave Burkett, comes on. Sean's joined us, Belizean, who has some Toledo ties, which leads to my next, question. Deshaun Kizer, Toledo Central Catholic, looks like he's going to get the starting nod for the Cleveland Browns, and it's certainly a huge story here in Toledo.
Well, he's incredibly talented. I think, you know, he's a guy, to me, there's a little bit of what if, and what I mean by that is what possibly could have happened throughout his college career. You know, I think there was a heck of a lot of potential there. That's not to say that there's a heck of a lot of potential moving forward, because obviously, getting that starting opportunity, this is a kid that, in my opinion, he deserves it. And the Browns are the type of team right now, I mean, they're going through yet another transition. It's hard to get things going in the right way when you've had so many different general managers and so many different directions. But you know what? Let this kid come up. Hey, he gives you the best chance to win. I firmly believe that. So I think that's a great story developing, and a guy that has shown everybody what he can do, and now he gets to do it on the national stage. It's a great story. I mean, it's going to be another tough year for the Cleveland Browns, but maybe they can start to do what the Lions have done over the last couple of years, and that's build a foundation and actually have an idea of where you want to go. And that all starts with leadership.
Yeah, we'll have the game tomorrow night. We're part of the Detroit Lions Radio Network. One of the voices you'll hear will be Sean Belizean and the rest of that Detroit Lions Radio Network roster. Sean, as always, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. Added a lot to the folks that are stuck in traffic someplace in Toledo tonight. I'll bet on that. So thanks for coming on.
You call anytime and say hi to all the Mahalics for me. Great people. It was always a pleasure to see them around the ring.
I'll tell you what, Ralph's sitting about 15 feet from me right now. I'll go in and give him a little wave. Good stuff. Thanks, Sean.
All right, anytime, buddy.
Sean Belizean, part of the Detroit Lions Radio Network. I hate to talk. Man, oh, man, I'm aging myself. Sean and I did a show here in Toledo with a guy by the name of Scott Sloan and was over on another radio station or radio outlet across town. And we had a lot of fun, a lot of laughs, and Sean's gone on to do some good things. Back to close it out, this is Drive Time.